Ryan Callahan. Go Vols 24/7 on the F&M Bank phone line. Good morning, Ryan. How you doing?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing all right.
Fantastic. Happy Friday.
What's going on the Hill? Anything?
Yeah, what can you,
I mean, we haven't had
what
any,
can you tell us, Ryan?
Had anything
we
didn't have weird come out from up there lately?
Just give it a few days, usually. Right?
Well, you know, I want to go back. I was with the draft. Trey Smith, sixth round, Kansas City, 226 overall, from going to being thought of as to being a surefire first rounder, and played that way quite a bit during his career. Certainly the medical issues forced him down. But, man, if he ever gets past that concern and he plays to his ceiling, what a steal in the sixth round.
Yeah, I think so, too. Just tons of upside there at that spot. There's obviously very little risk. Six-round picks get cut all the time. You know, it's not a big deal to take a flyer on a guy like that with that kind of ability. And I love for the Chiefs, too, that you get a really motivated player in this case because he made it clear he's not going to forget that he slid to the sixth round. He can understand it all he wants, but that doesn't make it any easier to accept. And at the end of the day, I think he still thinks he's the type of player who should have been chosen in the first, second, third round. Certainly was surprised to go past the second day of the draft, and I think was stunned that it didn't go until the sixth round. So, we thought all along, and I think most people did, in projecting where he would go. It only takes one team to be willing to accept the medical situation, to not worry about that. And the other thing that probably caused him to slide, he didn't play great the past couple years at times. He was much more inconsistent, especially this past year. So that could have played into it as well. But just the upside that's there, you know, and I think he's gotten better at managing his situation. So I would certainly have no qualms drafting a guy like Trey Smith in the sixth round.
Also, Josh Palmer, third round to the Chargers, about sort of the range where we thought, right?
Yeah, probably even a little bit on the high end for where people thought he might go. I think about right, though. A lot of people did think he would go in that third to fourth round range, and he helped himself, I think, this offseason with some of his workouts. And I think he's one of those guys that didn't make a huge name for himself in college. You know, he wasn't a household name. I think when people looked at the body of work, they said, you know, his quarterbacks didn't do him a lot of favors because he just wasn't part of a great offense, but every time you saw him with an opportunity to make a play, he did well in college. So I think the ability is there, and despite not being maybe a household name, he's got a chance to be a pretty good pro. So I think that was a nice spot for him, and we'll see how he does now at the next level. But I'm not surprised, and he's always, I think, had sort of an upside to his game that his stats at Tennessee never quite reflected in some ways, just because I think he was capable of more, just maybe didn't have the quarterback play and the offense around him to get in there.
Overall, when you look at big picture, though, you know, the fact that these guys are getting drafted out of UT over the last, you know, 5-6 years is a good sign for the program, because it wasn't that long ago where we were going a couple of years without anybody getting drafted out of UT, right?
That's right. Yeah, it gets worse. You know, they certainly need to have more than two guys drafted.
Sure.
Because getting players to the NFL is, when it comes to recruiting and rebuilding a program, kids want to go to the NFL. It's important. So you not only got to start putting guys back in the NFL on a more regular basis, but you've got to find some stars. You know, Tennessee gets a lot of mileage these days out of having produced Alvin Kamara. You know, but that was obviously two coaching staffs ago at the same time. So you need to be able to produce players, you know, similar to that a little more frequently than they have in recent years. But yeah, it does get worse, and they've shown that in recent years when they've had those drafts where they had the goose eggs among players drafted. So to at least have a couple taken, it's a good place to start for Josh Heupel and his staff to build from that. But at the same time, you know, Kentucky and Missouri, I think each had five draft picks, maybe more. But when you're comparing to what you're up against in the SEC, obviously compared to everyone else in that conference, they've got some work to do pretty much.
Ryan Callahan is our guest, GoVols 24/7. Just looking at some of the recruiting news involving UT football, looks like, you know, they're starting to make some inroads here. What do we know about Anthony Brown from Milan?
You know, Tennessee is on his list. He announced the top 12 this week that did include Tennessee. So the Vols are in the mix there, but, you know, how much will they continue to push for him? I don't know that they've made him a huge, huge priority the past month or two. So that was going to be interesting to see. You know, do they stay involved there? Obviously, a top 12, not necessarily. A player's not usually looking at all 12 of those schools when he puts out a list of favorites that large. You know, realistically, most players could probably give you a top five on any given day if you really needed to. They just want to keep more schools in the mix. So I think Tennessee's probably got some ground to make up there a little bit, but still in the picture, and we'll see if they decide to push harder in the coming months. I think he's a good in-state player, but a guy who's maybe just not the very top of their defensive backboard, and you know, still in the picture with him, and that gives them the option to become more of a factor moving forward, but got to become more involved, I think, to have a real shot.
Ryan Callahan on the F&M Bank phone line. I saw where, what, Heupel gave his coaches a little bit of time off, get back at it Monday heading into the grind. Certainly camps are coming up next month and everything, but what, been living in hotels and sleeping on air mattresses and getting the family here,
eating
all of that
bad
stuff.
Takeout food.
I doubt that. You know, but anyway, just sort of give them a little time to get settled in, because they've, from the day one, hit the ground running, every one of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The first months of a new coaching staff's time at a school certainly can be hectic, and no one really has time to go out and, you know, look at houses and get, you know, in some cases get their families here and things like that. So it is wild sometimes, especially when you come in like they did. You know, Heupel was hired a week before National Signing Day and had to worry about trying to find another player or two at the last minute there to add to Tennessee's class, and you know, had to go out and hire a staff after that, and then it was kind of right into spring practice. So there's just not much of a chance to slow down, and that's one of the reasons talking with some people that there's a lot of relief, a big sense of relief over the fact that there's a dead period in the summer that is remaining a part of the calendar, even though recruiting has been dead for more than a year, and they're just now going back to allowing in-person recruiting as of June 1st. But even with that being the case and visits not having been an option for more than a year, they're still having that nearly month-long dead period that will start in late June, because that's when coaches usually take their vacations, and it's really the only time of year that they can afford to do that. So when you talk about, you know, just getting a couple of days to sort of settle in, that's legit, because these guys work hard year-round, and aside from that time in July, there's usually not much of a vacation for any of them. So it's a grind, and they know that going in. But yeah, that's the reality, is it takes some time to get settled into a new place, because it's just you're going 100 miles an hour from the day you get there and never really slow down.
SEC meetings, or whenever it's going to be determined, this one-time transfer rule, Greg Sankey has been adamant against it. Certainly, he's made that point clear. But then again, if the other Power Fives, I think the ACC's already said it's going to waive, so other conferences, it's going to follow suit. It's going to be hard, I think, for the SEC if the other Power Four, a five concert, I mean, conferences go, to not allow it. I think it's going to be tough. But right now, Sankey is against the one-time waiver within the league.
Well, he is, maybe to a degree, but his stance on it has always been kind of the same, which is that's up to the conference,
yeah,
schools. And there's, you know, the rules are in place because the schools have never really wanted to change them, because this came up last year. Remember, there was all the controversy over Cade Mays not being eligible right away, and other players that had transferred within the conference not being cleared to play right away. Mays eventually was cleared, but the rule is the rule. And so he was asked about that multiple times and said, look, the rule is there because the schools want it to be. If they ever don't want it to be, they can change it. They know exactly what has to happen. So I think where things stand is there are some schools who are fully on board with what you're saying. Let's go ahead and change it. We're going to be at a competitive disadvantage if we don't, compared to some other conferences. There's another side, and I would say, based on what he said in the past about it, that Nick Saban is kind of against it, and that obviously is a vote that usually matters, because I think there's some concern, obviously, about what it could mean, about the possibility, the real possibility of tampering and things like that, where if a player, you know, say you have a close recruiting battle between Alabama and LSU, and a player comes in and it's his first year in whichever of those programs he picks, things don't go perfectly, he doesn't start right away. If a player can transfer back to the other school and you pass word to that player through whatever means necessary that, hey, we would be happy to take you back at the school you didn't choose, that creates some problems. So I think that's a concern, and especially in the SEC, how fierce those recruiting battles are. I think people are afraid to open that Pandora's box of allowing players to go immediately from one SEC rival to another and things like that. So and then I think you have maybe a few or half of the schools that are kind of in the middle that definitely don't want to be at a competitive disadvantage, but aren't really sure that it's right to go down that path right now. So I think they've got to figure it out, and they've just got to get on the same page somehow and see if everybody can come to a consensus on what's the right thing to do. But I'm with you. I think it's the kind of thing they need to probably do, because it's going to hurt them a little bit in the transfer market, which is obviously becoming such a huge deal if the SEC doesn't allow intra-conference transfers.
Javonte Payton, a guy that seemed to kind of get lost in the shuffle at Mississippi State, he's coming home to Tennessee. How significant is that transfer, you think?
I think that's a bigger deal than people might assume, just kind of glancing at that. You know, obviously Tennessee's taken now 6 transfers this offseason, and still potentially looking for more help if they can find the right fit. But he's a guy that I think has a chance to make a pretty good impact on this team. And I don't think they would be bringing him in if they didn't think he was. And people, I think, looked at that this week and said, you know, wide receiver, doesn't Tennessee have bigger needs? And on the surface, maybe so, but you've also got some guys in this offense, you know, Velus Jones Jr., Jalin Hyatt, a couple of Tennessee's top returning receivers, not necessarily classic outside receivers. Those are guys that might ideally fit in the slot a little more. So a guy like Javonte Payton, who's played in the SEC, has a little more size, has the speed to be a deep threat, he gives you another option there on the perimeter, and I think it's important to have that spot more solidified. They are counting on some guys this year who just haven't done it. You know, we talked earlier about Josh Palmer. Obviously, he's out of the picture now, so they've got to count on guys like Jalin Hyatt, but like Jimmy Callaway, who really didn't play much last year as a freshman. Guys like that are stepping into bigger roles this year. It's kind of an unknown. There are some players who are just going to need to really step in to fill that spot. And now Javonte Payton kind of gives them a little more of a bridge, another veteran they can count on there, and didn't ever have big numbers in Mississippi State, but did have a 100-yard game last year in Mississippi State season opener against LSU. So he's shown flashes of ability. I think he still has big-time ability. It just hasn't added up to him for one reason or another at Mississippi State. So we'll see if a fresh start does him some good, but I think Tennessee's optimistic that they're getting a guy that will help this offense right away, and that's why they wanted to bring in a wide receiver. They wanted to improve this offense, and obviously they want to throw the ball, and that's, you know, this staff wants to be good at what they do, and that's obviously going to be the centerpiece of this offense.
Ryan, SEC Media Days, we know the dates, July 19th through the 22nd, a week later than usual, I believe, but July 20th, Tennessee, the 21st will be Vanderbilt. They got 3, 4, 4, and 3 teams each of the days. Is it going to be anything like it used to be? Or because, you know, with the print side of it, it's a cattle call. Then they put everybody in that room.
Yep, and we have not heard a final verdict on that. Last year they were set to have some limitations on how things were going to be handled. There was, you know, talk of doing it virtually, and then it just got scrapped altogether with all the uncertainty over the season and whether it was going to happen. And essentially, that I think they were just afraid last year's was going to turn into nothing but questions about what could be expected from the season. So they just decided to throw it out altogether, but. You know, this year, I think they're going to have it. It's just a matter of whether it will be, you know, limited attendance, as you said. It's such a big event. So many places are starting to open things back up. Will they decide to allow it to be that big of an event, or will it be restricted to one or two people per media outlet to keep the numbers a little lower, or how will they do it? We're not really sure yet. So that will be interesting to see, but we're obviously trending back toward opening things back up a lot of places, so I could certainly see that being a more heavily attended event than people might expect. So an interesting decision to be made there that will probably be reflective of what we're going to see at SEC schools in press boxes across the country this year.
Joining us on the F&M Bank phone line today, Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 24/7, GoVols247.com. Thank you, Ryan. Have a great weekend, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
You too.